just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that was given by Pastor Kyle Olsfelt of Grace Baptist Church in Pampa, Texas. We encourage you to give attention to the message and to follow along in your Bible.
Tonight we're going to continue on. We're going to look at several verses. We're going to look at some verses out of order, not because Paul did not write his thoughts well, but because I better understand the thoughts as I convey them in the fashion in which I will. But before we get to the text tonight, I want us to think of a truth that all of us know, that all of us are aware of, and that is this, is that before you engage in some kind of a project, you need to have some kind of clear and known objective to your project. You need to know what it is you are hoping to accomplish with whatever it is you're about to do. If you have ever knocked out a wall in your house, you need to know what the plan is after the wall is gone. It is not a good time after the holes in the sheetrock have been made to begin contemplating, I wonder what I'll do next. No, you need to know before you begin the project what the objective is. If you cut down a tree, you need to know what the objective is before you do it. If you decide to paint some furniture, you need to know what the objective is. It needs to be clear. It needs to be known. What is it I am hoping to accomplish with this project? I'll say it one more time. Whenever we enter into a project, we need to have a known, clear objective. Because if we don't, we will have a mess on our hands. Does it mean it can't be salvaged? Well, it doesn't mean that, but it's probably going to require more work than if you had thought it through from the very beginning. Now, why do I mention that? Well, tonight, let's begin looking in verse number 3. In verse number 3, we read these continued thoughts from Paul. He said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So here is what Paul is explaining to Timothy, what I have alluded to in the last couple of messages. Paul is saying to Timothy, son, this is what you need to do. You need to charge them. You need to instruct them. You need to encourage them that they teach no other doctrine. So what is going on in Ephesus? Well, there are apparently some in the church, we don't know the exact number, there are some in the church who are teaching things they ought not be teaching. How do we know specifically that that's what Paul was referencing? Well, notice what he said in verse number 6. In verse number 6, he said this, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings. Okay, so he says some have swerved and they have turned aside. So what does it mean to swerve and to turn aside? Well, the word swerve literally means this, to miss the mark on something, and to turn aside means to turn away from something. And so what we'll begin to see in the next few moments is this, is that Paul is referencing sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound preaching of the Word of God or sound precepts of the Word of God, and they have missed the mark on those things, and they have turned away from the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, which is sound and established and sure. And he says they have done so to go unto vain jangling. What is vain jangling? Well, vain jangling is this. It is just empty chatter or empty talk. So they have the truth of the Word of God. They have the truth of the apostolic teaching. They have what's already been given to them. But what Paul said is this, is they have swerved from that and they have turned aside from that. And now they are concerned with these teachings and they are concerned with these thoughts or these philosophies, whatever you'd like to call them. And Paul said they are nothing more than vain janglings, empty talk, empty chatter, subjects of conversation that have no substance or merit to them whatsoever. He said that they should not give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So what Paul says in verse number 4 is this, is that some of them were giving heed or attention to fables and endless genealogies. What is a fable? Well, a fable is a myth or a fairy tale of some sort. Again, it's something that doesn't have any substance to it. It's something that doesn't have any basis to it. It's something that's just kind of pulled out of the air, and this is what they want to give their heed to or give their attention to. He said, don't let them give heed to the fables and the endless genealogies. What does that mean? Well, some scholars believe that what some were doing was trying to go back generations in their past to try to get some kind of merit or some kind of credibility to their position today. And Paul was saying this, listen, that is an endless task that one can engage in. And here's what he said, all it does is minister questions. What does it mean to minister questions? It just means this. It brings up debate and controversies, but it doesn't accomplish anything. So you've got people in the church, some, we don't know, again, the number of what that would represent, but what Paul is saying is they have swerved and they have turned aside and they have gone to this vain jangling, they have gone to this empty talk and this empty chatter, which consists of fables and myths and fairy tales, and he said, it does not edify, which is in the faith, like it's supposed to. See, when the children of God get together in the house of God, what is brought to the people of God should be edifying the people in their faith. And so Paul said, what's going on in Ephesus right now, that's not what's being accomplished. People are not being edified. People are not being built up. This is what they are giving themselves to. And then I know, again, we're jumping around a little bit, but look there in verse number 7. He said, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So you've got some in the church who have swerved and turned aside from the sound doctrine unto vain jangling, empty chatter. They are pursuing the fairy tales and the myths and the fables and the endless genealogies. It doesn't build up. It doesn't help the church. It doesn't grow or mature the church. And here is what these people want to do. They want to be teachers. And Paul said they don't even begin to understand what they say, nor whereof they affirm. What does it mean to affirm? It means to assert something with confidence. How many of us have ever talked to someone and they spoke with great confidence and you knew they didn't have a clue as to what they were talking about? It happens, right? Now, we've never done such a thing, but we have certainly talked to people and they spoke with great confidence. They affirmed this. They spoke with this great measure of boldness. And Paul is saying of these in the church who are of this spirit, he said, they don't even know what they're talking about. But they want to be teachers and they want to be leaders and they want to be influential. So do you see what Paul is saying to Timothy? He is saying, I left you and I besought you to abide there in Ephesus so that you could charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Now again, I just want to remind us, this is where some of the intimidation would come in the heart and mind of young Timothy. He's got to go to these people who are established in the church, who are maybe already considered to be pillars in the church, and he's got to say to them, hey, listen, what you're teaching is wrong. You are pursuing things that have no merit to them. You are pursuing things that have no value to them. What you are pursuing is just empty chatter. It's not helping the church one bit. This is what Timothy's got to do as a young man. So what does Timothy have on his hands now? He's got a very serious spiritual task that he's got to engage in. He's got a spiritual project that he is about to engage in. So if you're about to engage in a project, what do you need? You need a clear and known objective to the project. And in the spiritual realm, for Timothy, the principle was the same. If I am going to engage in this project of confronting some in the church over the direction they have taken with their thoughts and what they're talking about, and all it does is create debate and contention and division, okay, if I'm going to begin approaching this, I need to know what it is I hope to accomplish with the confrontation in dealing with this issue. So I like what the Apostle Paul did. He helped Timothy know what his known and clear objective should be. So where does Paul give the objective to Timothy's confrontation in dealing with this? Well, notice in verse number 5 what Paul wrote. He said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." He says, this is the end of the commandment, okay? The commandment which was given in verse number 3, that you charge them, okay? That they teach no other doctrine. So what does it mean when Paul says this is the end of the commandment? The word end means this: the aim or the purpose. So as Paul commands Timothy to instruct some in the church who want to be teachers, who don't even know what it is they're talking about, though they speak with great confidence, Paul says to Timothy, now listen, young man, here's what we're trying to accomplish. This is the aim of the confrontation. This is the purpose of the confrontation. He said, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Now, most of us know what charity is, right? It's a reference to what we call love. Okay, so he is saying that what we want to do is we want to restore these who have strayed. We want to restore their love, their charity. Well, who would they want to restore their love and their charity for? It would have to be God and the things of God. See, they've swerved from those things. They have turned away from those things. They have turned away from the sound teaching of the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. So again, what Paul says is it's our aim and it's our purpose. What we're hoping to accomplish in this process, Timothy, is a charity, a love from the ones who have gone astray. So we could say it like this: Paul was saying, Timothy, we're trying to restore those who have swerved back to a right relationship with God and His Word. Because right now they're not right with God and they're not right with the Word of God. So we want to restore their love for the Lord, for the things of God, for the Word of God. And he said we want to do so with a pure heart. We want it to be restored with a pure heart. What does it mean to have a pure heart? It means to have the inner spiritual man to be free from contamination or blemish. See, as we bring them back to the Lord, as we strive to bring them back to the truth of the Word of God, here's what we want it to be. We want it to be that in their heart, in their inner man, we want it to be pure. We want it to be cleansed. We want it to be free from any kind of blemish. We want them to be drawn back to God completely and wholly and entirely. The end of the commandment is charity, he said, out of a pure heart. And then he said, and of a good conscience. We know what the conscience is, right? It's our thought process, or a person's thought process. So he said, we want it to be of a good conscience, a perception of what is right. So we want the mind to be right. We want the spirit to be free from blemish. We want it to be pure. And then he said this, the end of the commandment is charity of faith unfeigned. What is something that is unfeigned? It is something that is genuine and something that is real. A faith is a reference to what they would believe, what their belief system would involve or entail. And so if you think about this as a whole, here's what we've got. We've got Timothy, who's been commanded to go there to Ephesus to command or to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What have they done? They have swerved. They have turned away to the vain jangling. They're worried about fables. They're worried about fairy tales and myths. They're worried about endless genealogies. They're worried about all these things, and they don't even know what it is they're talking about. And Paul says, Timothy, you've got to confront this, and you've got to deal with this. Now, keep in mind, here is the objective. Here is what we hope to accomplish. We want to bring people in love, back to the Lord, back to His Word, with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned, or a genuine, true belief in what it is they say they believe. It's not just enough for them to say they believe it. We want it to be an unfeigned faith. We want it to be real. We want it to be genuine. So that's the objective. Now, if Timothy knows the objective like he does now, does it influence then the way that he commands the people in relation to their false doctrine? Of course it does. You say, well, how do you know? Well, let's think about this for just a moment. If Timothy had not been given good direction on how to handle the false teachers or the erring teachers, do you think as those people caused problems in the church, Timothy could have confronted the situation with a spirit of anger? Think it's possible? Okay, let me just share with you. I promise you it's possible. You've got this person in the church or this person in the church or whomever it may be, and they're worried about endless genealogies, and what are you talking about? That's just a bunch of empty chatter. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, if someone was engaging in something like that, hey, listen, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with that right now, because that kind of conversation or that kind of a thought process, that's ridiculous and has no place in the church, and I'm going to let them know I don't appreciate that. See, that very much could have been the spirit if Paul hadn't said, now remember what it is we're hoping to accomplish. See, and if Timothy wasn't reminded of what it was he was trying to accomplish, he could have responded and dealt with the situation in anger, but it would not have restored people back to the Lord and where they needed to be in their relationship with the Lord, their love for Him, and the love for the truth of His Word. See, for Paul to remind Timothy of what it is they were hoping to accomplish, it had to help, because if Timothy didn't respond, say, in anger, he could have responded in an effort or in a manner in which it would have embarrassed the people. I mean, think about this. You think you're so smart? You think you've got the answers to these situations, or you think you've got the answers to these questions? Yeah, you think you're so smart. What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And he could have tried to embarrass them. And that approach would not have restored the people back to the Lord and a love for His Word. Had Paul not reminded him of their objective, he may not have tried to embarrass them as much as maybe he would have tried to just prove he was right and they were wrong. Hey, listen, I have traveled with the Apostle Paul. I know what I'm talking about, and you people don't. So the fact that the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of the objective, hey, listen, we're trying to see these people restored. in charity, with the pure heart, the good conscience, and the faith unfeigned, it had impact on how Timothy was going to approach the situation and address it. So this evening, let's think about the principle that we're dealing with. As I said last week, as I mentioned in review, most of us will never be a pastor, right? Which means you'll never be in a position like Timothy was to confront people necessarily in the church from the role of a pastor. But does that mean that you and I will not come into contact with people who have swerved, who have turned away from the truth unto vain janglings? That doesn't mean that at all. See, here's the reality of it. You will run into people who have turned away from the truth of the Word of God, who have turned away from the teachings of the Word of God, who now give heed to fables and endless genealogies. And what it is they're concerned about and what it is they're consumed with, it doesn't build anyone up. It doesn't edify anyone. All it does is create a source of debate and a source of contention and a source of division. We've all run into people like that, have we not? And what do they want to do? They want to teach you something. And sadly, they don't understand what it is they're talking about or what they affirm. So you're not the pastor of a church, but you're dealing with someone, maybe in your family, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor, whomever it may be, they have no idea what they're talking about. But they want to tell you what's up. And they want to tell you how everything is supposed to be, and they want to tell you how everything is. And in that moment, you know what we've got to do? We've got to respond. But I want us to understand this tonight. I want us to be reminded of this, that in our response, we need to have a known and clear objective. We've got to know what it is we want to accomplish or try to accomplish in our response. And for the child of God visiting with someone who has gone astray in their thought process, what it is that concerns or consumes them, and for the one who has gone astray in what it is they're now interested in, here is what our objective should always be: to see that person restored back into a right fellowship with God and His Word. The end of the commandment, the aim and the purpose, what it is we're trying to accomplish with the one who has strayed, it should always be we want to see that person restored back to the Lord in love and with the Word of God. With what? With a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. That's got to be our objective. But see, if it's not our objective, you know what will happen? We'll respond, but maybe not in the right way. Let me just throw some things out for consideration, and you see if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever talked to someone who was clearly going astray in their thought process, and it made you mad? These people know better than that. You've been raised in church. You know that what you're doing is not right. You know the position you're taking isn't right. That is ridiculous. Has it ever made you mad? I don't know about you, but it's made me mad before. And you know what I've conveyed at times to people who have gone astray in their thought process? I've conveyed my anger. I've conveyed my total frustration with them. I have let them know that I completely disapprove. And you know what I have never, ever accomplished with that approach? I have never accomplished seeing someone being restored when I let them know I was angry. Because me expressing my anger over them swaying or swerving and turning aside from the truth of the Word of God, my anger is not what's going to convince them to get right with the Lord and His Word. Have you ever responded like this? And maybe you're better than this, but maybe some of us have done this. Have you ever responded in such a way that you just kind of wanted to embarrass the person? Because you knew that what they were saying was foolish, and you were just going to take a little bit of pride in revealing how wrong and silly their thought process was. Have you ever tried to stick it to someone? Again, it may look something like this. The next time somebody says this, I'm going to be ready for them, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get them. And we may have had that moment, and we may have got them, but we didn't see them restored. See, and sometimes if we don't remember our objective, that we're trying to bring these people back to a love for the Lord and His Word, sometimes what it becomes or what it boils down to is this, is I want to prove myself right and I want to prove you wrong. And that's the ultimate objective in this whole exercise. When we see someone going astray, when we see someone turning away from the truth of the Word of God, that's really not the time for our pride to kick in and try to prove them wrong and prove us right. But if we're not careful, we can do that. See, if you and I don't know the objective, if you and I don't know the desired result before we start, we'll probably make a mess of things. So I don't know how often this happens. I don't know how often we would deal with this. But as best we can, by the grace of God, we need to remember this. If someone is going astray, if someone is turned aside from the truth of the Word of God, the objective always needs to be reconciliation. It needs to be love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. It's hard to remember that sometimes because of the emotion, because of the passion that we may have, but that has always got to be the objective. Without it, we will see very few people restored where they need to be.
If you've appreciated this message from Kyle Olsfelt of Grace Baptist Church, let us know by contacting us on our website at gbcpampa.com or on our Facebook page, Grace Baptist Church, Pampa, Texas.